Good evening. It's September 15th, 2021. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our first responders and our servicemen and women.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First up, our presentation of minutes. First, minutes are from the August 18th, 2021 regular meeting. Any comments, discussion, or motion to approve minutes?
I'll make, if there aren't any comments.
Seeing none.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular session of August 18th, 2021.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the minutes of the September 1st, 2021 regular meeting and executive session meeting, unless anyone has any comments or discussion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of September 1st, 2021 regular and executive session meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. With that, we open the meeting to public comment, limited to agenda items only, reminding the public that this meeting is recorded and posted on the website. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. This time, limited to agenda items. If any member of the public would like to make a comment, seeing no one coming forward. Is there a motion to close public comment?
Make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. We have no ordinances on the agenda. Resolution 79-2021, redemption of tax sale certificate, whereas the amount of $29,735.02 has been collected from the property owner for Block 11, Lot 10, at 147 Buffalo Hollow Road for the redemption of tax sale certificate number 201901. Therefore, be it resolved that the treasurer be authorized to prepare, the mayor, treasurer, and clerk authorized to sign, check in the amount of $29,735.02 to Green Knight Capital for redemption, and an additional check of $15,000 for the premium monies collected at the tax sale. Any discussion or motion to approve Resolution 79-2021?
A motion to approve Resolution 79-2021, redemption of tax sales certificate.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. So, first item of old business is a draft of our sign ordinance. Mr. Abakowski was the individual subcommittee member for this, so I turn it over to you.
Thank you. So, we tried to make this as simple as possible, given everybody's input into this. Basically, divided it into two areas, that on private property and then on municipal property. With regard to private property, the only requirement is that you get permission of the property owner to put the sign on. There's no other stipulations. And then there's an either-or, actually, between two and three. Either we decide that there are no political signs shall be permitted on the township property, or political signs are allowed with permission from the township. And if they are, if that permission is received, then the signs can go up 30 days before and must be removed 14 days after. And the sign can be no larger than 15 square feet, which is a 3x5 sign. So that's really it from all the input. And it's up for discussion.
I was just I think you helped answer one of my questions. I was getting confused between no political sign shall be permitted on township property and then political sign shall be permitted on municipal. And then I saw this owned outright. I didn't know what that was Municipal property shall be defined as land owned outright, Township of Lebanon.
By the township.
Oh, it's the word by is missing. I wasn't sure.
So
we're
so
making
it's either
a decision.
Or, two or
okay,
three.
So we're making a decision between them.
Yeah, one of them will drop out.
Yeah. Now, how does that 30-day thing come back to haunt us from the fact that the political speech, you can't say it's up or down or take
Abe and I discussed this when we conferenced after he was designated as a subcommittee. Again, this is one area where it's our it's our in the Royal Township we sense we can prohibit it, and many towns do. The fact that we can prohibit it means we can also regulate it to a lesser degree.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to allow it, and I think the intent of saying there's a permit, it wouldn't be discretionary, and Abe and I discuss this. If you want it, you're going to get it. We wanted to know who it was so that on day 15 you get a phone call saying, you're supposed to pick these up. You didn't do it. But that's why the deadlines that we talked about in great detail regarding – I want to put this sign on my lawn. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me how to express my political speech. But we can do so if you seek to do so in a public forum that's mm-hmm. owned by all the residents of Lebanon Township. So that's the distinction.
When you say owned outright, is that solely owned? Because we have a lot of properties that were mixed ownership with other organizations.
Well, that's a question then, I don't think if we do not own the majority, we can't make that stipulation.
Most, a lot we don't.
A lot we own the majority, like the Fisher property is 70-30. We own 70%, but we don't own it. But. Pelia, we don't own any of it.
Yeah.
But the point is, if we don't own 100%.
And I think, and again, if I'm wrong, Abe, you'll correct me, but one of the distinction we're trying to make there, and again, we want to present Township Committee with options, but the primary distinction we're making is we're not talking about right-of-way. We're talking about fee-simple property. We're not talking about Mark brings up a separate question that Abe and I did not discuss, at least not in any detail. Mm. We're talking about property, township property, not right-of-way that we maintain in somebody's front yard for utilities or for access or something like that, the park. The other properties that Mark just laid out, the split properties with regard to the county or Green Acre, whatever, that's right. The HLT, I can't imagine, deal with them often, that that the land trust would want any involvement in any direction. They're pretty hands off group. But the primary focus was to distinguish between right of way. And, for example, like I said, the properties that have been historically used for placement of
sites. Well, personally, I just feel that what we've been doing, which is down by the library, that's the right-of-way down at the corner at the edge of the road. You know, I think we're going to get into a mess if we start allowing it on municipal property and you can't – you're going to be policing it all the time because people can go into the park and place it by a tree 200 feet in. Then you're going to have to start putting – other restrictions on everything, and then with the electioneering, you can't have it within 100 feet. It's on township property, you've got a permit, but then there's going to have to be stipulations within that property that it can't be 100 feet from the polling location. So I would...
in the draft sign ordinance from the last couple of meetings, mm-hmm. that we're trying to deal with that by saying it had to be within a certain number of feet of public road and the like, so that they weren't mm-hmm. in the middle of parks or in the middle of trails on private roads.
Okay.
Because I believe that the tradition in this town of having the couple of central locations that are township-owned, like the corner of Memorial Park on the top mm-hmm. of Hill Road, or Bunvale and Hill, the bottom of Bunvale, and the like, I think we have so few places of where there is public signage that I would like to be able to have political signs on those properties.
Oh yeah, but that's aren't those right of ways? They're not really.
Well, we're saying, and that can I just ask a right of way question?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a two part question. The existing ordinance that we're amending, so chapter 413D, says signs are permitted subject to the general regulations applicable to all signs. Now. 400-13C, applicable to all signs. That's it. That is, if you look that up, that is uh, 413C, general regulations pertaining to signs. I assume that that means that the political signs have to follow that, even though below that it says it's pursuant to the regulations set forth herein. So it's kind of a legal question. Have we said on top we do follow general regulations and then we're saying we don't? I don't know how the drafting works out. But assuming we're following general regulations, signs other than official traffic signs shall not be erected within or project into the right-of-way of any street. So we don't allow those signs to be in the right-of-way on any road now.
Look away from. We just don't enforce it, kind of.
We haven't enforced it now.
Yeah.
In the last draft, one of the challenges is we have different rights-of-way as we go through the town. Depending on newer subdivisions, we have 50-foot right-of-way, which would be 25, and then 10 feet on somebody's property. Older properties, we have, I think it's 33-foot right-of-way. So the question is, do we have the zoning officer out there with a map and knowing, okay, this lot's 25, this lot's 17 and a half? So we said 3 feet off was the last draft, just so we could let everybody know you have to be 3 feet off a road. And to me, there were safety issues as well, pedestrian safety and the like. So that's a question in the way this is drafted, as we're talking about right-of-ways right now. If we follow the general regulations pertaining to signs, we don't allow them in any right-of-way anyway.
But then we have But then we have to make a specific stipulation with regard to these signs, as you just said, within 3 feet.
Which we had before.
Right, which regardless of whether it's in the right-of-way or not.
Or we save right-of-way.
Right.
But the point is we don't allow signs. We're talking about, do we allow signs in the right-of-way on corners? No. We don't allow them there anyway. The question is, do we allow them on municipal properties outside the right-of-way?
That's the question we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's not always township right-of-way either. It could be county right-of-way, I guess.
On a county road, those are 513. County rights-of-way, I guess, right?
Yeah. Then we're not even able to control that.
Yeah, that would be for them to regulate.
And state over by, you can't put it on the Voorhees Park property anyway, but...
Well, I mean, our ordinance says into the right-of-way, that must include county, state, every right-of-way.
If it's drafted that way. Abe and I did not review that in any detail, Section C, but I do want to respond to Committee Woman Kohler's observation. She's correct that, as drafted, you can drive into the park. It may be a sea of signs, and certainly the cleanest, easiest thing is, because that's just a black line, but the alternative is... is designate. There's three places you can do it, or one, whatever. But it's important to note that as drafted, you could deal with. You could pull in for a picnic and be surrounded by.
Well, I'm thinking worst case scenario. Say, for example, like the year I ran, there were two open spots. There were four people running, but there weren't any. There were Republicans only, and then there were no Democratic challengers. So technically, you could have like eight signs on the library property, and then you're going to get into who my sign's in a better spot than your sign.
How people move them in front. Someone puts one in front of it.
Exactly, and then we're going to be getting the phone calls on it. If there's a way that we could make it right to be in the right of way. Like it is now, although we're not saying that that's legal, but we're just allowing it. Maybe that's the better route than to start having signs all over our properties and having issues.
Yeah, I think what we said in the prior draft was you had to be within 10 feet of the public road, minimum 3 feet, maximum 10 feet, so that we weren't getting them down the driveways of the park and everywhere else.
But you still couldn't put them out here because.
And then we said 100. I think we used the
polling place
100 feet. Used the electioneering laws.
Yeah, we got some feedback from Karen on that to be consistent with the electioneering laws.
There was other people
I don't think they had a problem.
Especially 10 feet in, so they'd be going up on the sidewalk.
I just don't think there was some last election.
Right.
I think we should.
Why don't we bring them together and just say it's not allowed on any municipal property. However, we're going to designate a couple of areas where you can put a sign very clearly on Bunville and Hill Road, down on the corner, or any place else that people think is appropriate. If that's a place where traditionally we have put signs,
right,
we might as well say let's allow them there and no place else.
I mean, we've also allowed them on open space around town as well. People have figured out, you know, the Red Mill open space property, some of the open space properties on Anthony. Candidates have figured out that signs end up on township open space property.
You mean like at the corner of Red Mill and Mount Airy?
Exactly, mm-hmm. For example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's probably easier.
The corner of the DPW building gets some on Anthony.
Yeah.
That if we know certain areas where you can put them, won't we list the designated areas where you can put them?
That's another way to do it, too.
And that's the easiest way.
Within 30 feet of the corners.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be outside of the sight line. We have to figure out the.
Yeah.
We can do that, too.
Yeah.
So.
But then going to that statement, because it's going to limit the area. I think we need to take that 15 square feet to 3.
Yeah.
Which a 3 is like a standard.
3 square feet, 1 by 3?
Actually, it's what's now.
2 by 4, wasn't that what we were
on? What are the standard signs? Right?
What
2 by 3? 2 by
3? Was it 18 by
24? Mine are 18 by 27 or 18 by 24, whatever.
Yeah.
What's
so
already
it's 2 by 3, it's 6 square feet.
6 square feet.
Okay.
15 square feet.
Yeah, that's
a 3 by 5.
Yeah, I think that works.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
6 square feet?
6 square feet.
I mean, our existing ordinance was limiting to 4 square feet. Hmm. I'm happy with 4 square feet. That's a 2 foot by 2 foot sign.
So I like signs at the top there.
18 inches, 2 feet.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be anywhere is by a municipal complex. The library, the museum, the municipal buildings, fire stations, I don't think that we should have any signs by there. The open space road where we historically have put them, I don't have a problem with.
What about the corner of the museum, of the library?
I don't mind the corner.
That's where we were going to designate
fine.
The part
yeah,
of the,
right
of the properties where it could be.
List where you can't put them.
Yeah.
Wait, that's
those
the
buildings.
Other way to do it, to list where you can't.
It doesn't
put them.
Go there. Yeah. Never has, shouldn't be.
Yeah. So I think that we should follow up with a little more work to decide whether we list where they are or where they are excluded from. It accomplishes the same thing.
Yeah, I think where they are is easier because you can say because it's going to be excluded from a lot more places than it's going to be allowed. So making a list of where it's allowed is, I think, a little bit easier.
Probably.
And it's also direct. If somebody's reading it, they know very clearly where they're allowed to put it, and they don't have to figure it out. From the other one.
They're also very clever people that will find the loophole somewhere that we didn't think about.
So we need a list. If people can send me, where they prefer to have these things, because I don't know where you've used it traditionally, where you put signs traditionally. But make a list of where you put them traditionally, and we just put them on here.
Hmm. I've got a list of my own, and then we can start with that and add to it.
Well, why don't we put the list together and bring it up at the next meeting? We can review it again.
And do we still want people to have permits? Is that?
Excuse me?
Do we want to require people to have permits to put signs on there?
When you say a permit.
That's in the current draft.
I'll address it because was to say, I am so-and-so. I am the person that's going to be responsible again on day 15.
Okay.
We're not charging you $25. Right. We just... Here's my
not
name.
Yet.
Okay, that's your call too.
Yeah.
But to say on day 15, you know, again, somebody puts up 3 signs, not a big deal. Somebody puts up 50 signs, and we have to call Warren. Somebody has to drive out there, and you know that at least there'd be a trail to say if you're going to put them on our property, we need a contact number to call you on day 15, you know, to make sure this gets done. Somebody needs to be held accountable.
But I thought we are not going to allow it on municipal property.
They're not really
so
on
you don't
it.
Need a permit.
Yeah.
No, we're going to allow it on selected municipal
property. Exactly, but selected areas,
right.
Not necessarily municipal properties, although they may very well
be.
Yeah.
I think that's good that we have people get rid of, it used to be kind of a rule of thumb. That
it was an agreement.
It was 48 hours after, signs were gone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's the way it was. It just was a rule of thumb. So
yeah, it was self-policing for many years.
For years.
My question on that is, under the election laws, you're required to put paid for by XYZ. Now, some candidates do, some candidates don't. To me, if you're not following the election laws, the sign should be pulled off. And if you leave your sign there and it's paid for by...
Well, I don't know about that, only because we get far afield is if somebody says, it's not my... Somebody wants me to win. They put the sign up. I didn't pay for the sign.
All those signs should be paid for.
They should have a disclaimer on them.
Yes, paid for by Tom McKee for Lebanon Township Committee or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that would be something that would be recorded.
And that's exactly. You go into the election.
I mean, if we're going to, and we didn't discuss this possibility, but if we're going to have, say, and I'm not pinning this, but if it should be four sites and we're willing to eat the cost of cleaning those four sites, maybe we don't need the permit. But, you know, at one point we thought of potential on every piece of land we own an interest in, there could be hundreds of signs spread out all over town. And we wanted the people putting them up to be responsible for taking them down. So that's the balancing test. That's the issue there.
Here's what I get nervous about, too, is that somebody comes in to file a permit and word gets out, so-and-so's, you better get down there because somebody's taking a prime spot on the corner of the Anthony Triangle, which is no longer there. And then, I don't know, this whole permit thing bothers me. I'm just wondering if we could do, first of all, are the right-of-ways. There it is, like the corner, let's use the library. So you have the corner there, which is at the corner of 513. So there's a county right-of-way, there's our right-of-way. Is that considered owned by the township proper? Is that municipal property?
We have a property interest in that. Whether or not it was my understanding in our discussion when Abe and I discussed it is we were looking at primarily township land, not right of ways and not things of that nature, and that's what we were looking to permit it on. That was the issue, the primary issue we addressed. The private land with a public right-of-way, whether it's county, state, or local, is a different issue. So we were trying to just distinguish that the primary issue we wanted to get the committee's approval of was whether or not land we own outright, not right-of-way land, but outright,
yeah,
whether that is fair game or that's prohibited. With regard to the mixed right of ways, like you said earlier, we have limited ability to regulate multiple right of way land, and that's a separate concern.
And that's what I was getting to, because if you're back to just doing the right of ways, if we decided we're not going to do it on municipal property owned by the municipality, not a right of way situation, then you can't really tell people to take it off within 30 days, right?
If it's arguably private property, that gets us back to the issue we had discussed and the reasons why we don't have that right on private property. I mean, each of these categories is slightly different. Obviously, the private most protected and the land we own, that the township proper owns, is the least protected and allows us the ultimate ability to regulate. And the areas in between are on that sliding scale.
All right, so let's take that corner of Mount Airy and Red Mill. That's Green Acres, but
no, that's 100% township.
100%
just like 513 in Bunville, that's 100% township land.
Yeah.
With a county right of way on it.
Right, but the signs are in the right-of-way. They're not on the township-owned.
But they shouldn't be in the right-of-way. They should be on the township-owned property.
But we just said we don't want to do it on the township-owned property.
I thought we were going to do it on a limited amount of tracks.
We're going to limit the amounts in some of the historical ones that we're talking about, that corner, this corner, are ones that are going to be permitted to be. And the distance where they're going to be, 3 feet from the road, is that where we're...
That's the right-of-way, though, isn't that?
That's beyond the right-of-way. The first 3 feet is the right-of-way, so it has to be out of the right-of-way.
Normally, yeah. And the thing is, I mean, in essence, we're creating like a public billboard. a public display, a place where, you know, you can come and we're going to allow that.
I'm just not, there is another section of our sign ordinance that anticipates permits being required, but I'm not in favor of permits for political signs myself either.
No.
But I do think if we require that, that political signs follow the law that says paid for by, then we have some accountability. If somebody puts, you know, 30 signs on that property, or I mean, I think we need to restrict how many of each sign. I think even on the private property, in the original draft, the last draft, we were limiting the total number of signs you could put on private property.
Yeah, but see, I don't like that because look, I had three in a row. Well, actually, I didn't, but somebody had three in a row in their backyard that faced up to 513, which I thought was extremely effective. You can't tell somebody on their own property.
I'm not
what
saying
to
limit it to two square feet. I'm saying with a reasonable limit, though. But
they should be able to.
That's just my thought. Then we're okay.
Yeah, they should be able to have that. They're lucky they have that piece of property there, and they could put five signs.
Okay.
In my opinion.
All right, so just so I'm clear, the consensus is no permit. I just broke
that's
that.
That's what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, how are we going to, like, the people running for township committee would understand that potential, but the person that's putting out signs for a congressperson or something, they're just going to wander around and place signs.
Yeah.
And so that's the other problem is,
that's right.
You know, there has been historically other places that they show up, and now we're going to have issues where we have to be prepared that, you know, our zoning officer or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to create an enforcement issue.
Yeah, it's going to create an enforcement. Yeah, that, you know, because there's people that are used to putting them on these other locations, and now all of a sudden they won't be part of that list, and they're not aware that they won't be part of it.
Well, I think the first thing, I'm sorry, Beth.
I was going to say, even the county, when they send people out, the county Republican Party or county Democratic Party, they're going to be swarming the town and putting stuff out. They don't know that they need a permit.
They're the last ones to get taken away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
but I think the zoning officer, certainly the initial response can be to these known entities that you just mentioned. In close, please find ordinance 123. Please note that in our fair city, you know, our fair township, this is what's allowed. Please cure your violations. And then the next step would be, you know, I told you once, I asked you nicely, and I think it's true. We have a historical policy that's occurred over all these years and an agreement to maintain some civility and cleanup responsibility. And if we change it, there'll be an education issue and an enforcement issue at some point.
More work for the staff.
I don't think there's any way to get around it. There's no way to make this perfect.
No,
one
but I mean
other.
Permits. If you put permits.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I,
that's
I,
what
I,
I'm
yeah.
talking about,
no,
permits.
No. Right. If we designate certain areas of municipal property where you're allowed to put signs, you are giving the permit.
Yeah.
De facto.
Yeah.
So you don't need it.
Right.
The permission is there to put the signs up in those areas.
Okay, that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the signs on the permitted areas, not with permits, but that we're going to designate where you can have signs. We can put a restriction 30 days before an election and have to be down.
Right.
We can.
X days
we have
after.
Those
I
here.
Think we can, and we're supposed to do so.
Right.
I think we should, because on the private property, they can have signs up all year round for everything.
So is everybody still okay with the 30 days before, 14 days after, and then 6 square feet, right?
I'll do these changes, Abe, and I'll leave the designation of permitted spots to you, and then we can once you do that.
Yeah, I got
to
get it from the rest of the crew here.
Yeah,
before you can email me.
We can even read it in. We can, you know, have it.
Yeah.
I think we can have a discussion about that. Once we get these other issues addressed.
So are we going to call it township property or municipal property when it comes
up to Matt?
Because
I
see the two
appropriate.
I'll make it consistent.
Okay.
Yeah,
I do wish I would have known that that was an either or, because I spent the same focused time thinking, what is the difference here? Why?
Oh, that's
trying to make
Abe,
sense.
Karen, and I were all aware it was either or because we spoke about it on Friday, but I didn't mean
but
to cause any
cover
confusion.
Note would have been helpful.
Instead of the and, it should have been an or. That's all.
Sounds like
it's two and three.
You can't use, but oh, by the way, you can.
Yeah. That's what I was I thought it was me at first. I read it like four times. I said, no, something's up.
All right.
So
I'll get something to you before. I'll get something to you next week.
Okay.
Go back and forth.
Sure.
I don't think that's addressed all of the issues that the planning board had and others. So this will be one step, and next meeting we'll deal with other questions.
Well, once we get what we think is okay, we can then move it around.
No, but I mean, even last time, I'm looking at the minutes from the last planning board, you know, they had 5-6 questions.
I think most of those were dealt with.
Well, I mean, banners are included, clarification is needed on whose responsibility is to move.
The banners was for private property, whether banners would be allowed on private property, but you can do anything you want on private property. So that's all out.
So on municipal property, a sign is four square feet.
4 square feet.
Okay.
So if it's a banner that's 4 square feet, it's a sign.
If it's 4 square feet,
if
it could be. Yeah.
Okay.
Some of those, they have some of those that wave around.
We'll get one of those air-driven thing, you know, that goes like this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the question that I had as well, because if you read our entire sign ordinance, banners aren't allowed.
Go ahead.
Banner. I mean, that's why. Are we allowing political banners, but not other banners?
I think this should be distinct from the sign ordinances, because it seems to me that the sign ordinance that we have really deal with signs that are businesses and things like that. This is separate. Should not fall under that.
And that's what I'm just saying.
There's going to be no lighting here. There's going to be none of that here.
We just have to make sure that it does then state clearly that it's
right.
outside of
right.
a lot of those other restrictions.
That'll be Matt's job.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll a progress step. Any other discussion from the committee on the sign ordinance? Or?
No.
That takes us then to the subcommittee for proposal for creating new resolutions or ordinances. I always look forward to using the word Messers. McKee and Abakowski provided us with a draft. So over to you, gentlemen.
You want it, Tom?
No, go right ahead.
Okay, so Tom and I worked on this, and the intent was to develop a policy / procedure. I don't know whether this would be an ordinance or a resolution or simply a policy within the township. I think that's one thing to discuss. But anyway, the issue was is how do we appropriately bring these things forth so that they can be dealt with really in a straightforward manner. So there are 10 steps here. That have been proposed. The first thing being that the municipal clerk, anything that's routine, we're not going to deal with, right? Any of that, like the tax thing we just did, that doesn't require coming up and discussion. However, any issue can be presented by either a township, the committee, or the public during the open session, and the public has an issue to present. At that point, once it comes before us, it is up to us to discuss and decide whether it's going to be tabled at that point, it's not going to be dealt with, or it will continue to be dealt with and discussed. Okay. So then, let's see, after we deliberate, we can take action on it by either developing a resolution or ordinance at the meeting or appointing a subcommittee to further define the issue and understand the issue and then present recommendations to the committee at a later date. Then it's going to be presented, it gets presented under old business and beyond the agenda. And one of the things that we would request is that it be on the agenda no later than 4:30 on Thursday before the meeting, so that people getting their packets have an opportunity to review what's coming up at the meeting and are not surprised by it. At that point, the committee will discuss it and decide whether to take action, put together the verbiage for either the resolution or the ordinance, which would then go to our attorney, who would then draft that resolution or ordinance, which would then come back to us and reviewed and either amended, passed, or tabled. Did I miss anything, Tom?
The only thing I wanted to add was, so for everyone's benefit, how our agenda is struck. It's a collaboration between the township clerk, who's the custodian of records, our attorney, with the mayor. So there's three people that are unique in this, and that's the collaboration that they have to making the agenda. The other thing that I just want to add is I would think that developing a resolution and an ordinance would be something. We have done it on the fly at a meeting, but not an ordinance. I think that's something that has to go back, get struck with that group, and then brought to us. It wouldn't be. We have had resolutions read on the fly once in a blue moon, right? Yeah. So I don't prefer that. I like it to go back and then come back to the committee as a document that we can all look at and talk about. That's the only thing I would add to what you were saying, or maybe I'm just confused on how that
is. It may be in here. I might not have gone over it as clearly.
And the other thing I think that, you know, I'm just going to throw this out there. When in the second public comment is when residents can come and speak about issues they may have on hand. And I think that the way that should work is that would be taken upon advice by the committee. And if it moves a member of this committee to take action, that person could then bring that forward, because we have to have it on the agenda. That's what I'm struggling with. If we don't have it on the agenda, we're just flying. There's some people in town that might not have recognized this, and this issue comes up, and we're debating it. So I think that, for me, it needs to always be on the agenda for us to, and I think that's some of the hiccups we had this year. We want to make sure that it's on the agenda, everyone in town is aware of what we're going to talk about, and it comes forward to here. So I'm just thinking when a resident says something and here we go running with it right away, some residents might have not know about that. So I think we always have to go back, strike it with the group that we talked about that manage the agenda, and then come back here so that we can have a broad discussion on it. I'm just adding that.
Yeah, so, no, I think it's actually in here.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes by the public or it comes by the township, it gets discussed. If it comes under, it wouldn't be under new business. It would actually be under the public forum, public comments.
And that's what I was confused with as well. So after public comment, you would envision another addition to the agenda to... Someone brings up something in public comment, we discuss it that night.
Yeah,
as
we discuss
committee.
It as a committee. And the only action we would take is either table it, it's not something we're going to deal with as a committee, or yes, it is something we want to deal with. It's a good idea. It's important. We want to deal with it. Okay. At that point, we can put a subcommittee together to study it and bring recommendations back.
Which we can always do. I agree with what Tom is saying. I think the way the agenda, the only thing after public comment is if we have executive session and then adjournment. I think if a resident brings something up in public comment, which absolutely they're open mm-hmm. to do, I think one of the five committee people needs to
be moved by
be
it.
Be moved by it,
exactly.
Latch on to that, and bring it to the next meeting.
As,
not that the five of us vote
business,
on everything.
As new business.
Probably, if, whatever it is,
yeah.
whatever it turns
if,
out to
if
be.
If more than one, there's your subcommittee.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way I thought about it. So it's right. always on the agenda where we're going.
Right.
That's the only difference that I thought. As I read more and more, that's what I thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the discussion, if we can have a broad discussion.
So, number
public
six.
Public comment is usually just that, a comment.
Right.
We have time constraints. We have legal professionals here. So it's usually taken upon advice where it can be then registered with a member who was moved on that position to get it into the next agenda. I think that way the public is always aware of what we're talking about.
Right.
I don't think it's fair for us to make a comment or make decisions on something that's just one comment without us knowing more background.
Yeah.
Agreed.
We may back ourselves into a corner we don't right. want to be in.
But that's right. number. That's number six. I mean, if you look at number six.
Well, see, that in number six, what was bothering me about that is when it said action may take the form of developing a resolution or ordinance at the meeting.
Yeah.
You
or
know, you can't
appoint a subcommittee. You can decide. Sometimes things may be – I don't want to say you can't.
Well, I can't see us crafting one at the
well,
meeting.
Well, we may not.
Yeah.
But we may decide. We may say here are the things that we would want in a ordinance, or here's the kind of things that we would – want a draft, just like this. This is the draft right here.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm saying.
And
there.
we've had 5 days to think about it, and now have
exactly.
a discussion.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm feeling is somebody comes. Good example: a meeting or so ago, somebody came and talked about the mile a minute. We
right.
I'd never heard of it in my life.
Right.
Yeah.
But we took no action.
And I think that's the right course of action
exactly.
because we did go back and learn about it, and now I know about it. But okay. if your proposal is somebody brings up a topic like that and we should have a vote.
No, that's not the proposal at all. That's not what this says.
No. I'm confused because that's the way I was reading it and that's the way I understood that you just said.
No. Let me go line by line, make sure we don't confuse ourselves. Let's say number two, issues may be presented by any resident of the township or by a committee member.
Right.
That's an issue, not taking any action.
And that's nothing new. That's what
right.
we currently do, and in every meeting works that way. Yeah.
Then, if somebody, you know, gets excited about it, the issue presented at the township committee by a member of the committee should be placed on the agenda as new business.
Yeah, next
okay.
meeting.
There you
or
go.
Whenever they're prepared. Yeah,
and then,
that's currently the way we operate as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And residents may present issues during the public portion of the meeting.
Yep, which they currently can and do.
Then the committee would deliberate and decide whether to act on it.
And that's where I think you've confused certainly me, because the order that you've done it in led me to believe you were proposing when we get public comment at the end of the meeting, we, then the committee, are required to deliberate any issue that comes up at that meeting.
Yeah, no, that's not the intent here.
Okay.
What I really only meant to say here is that there are really two ways to get an issue out. A committee member can bring it up, or the a resident can bring it up during the public portion of the meeting.
To voice an issue,
to
yes.
voice
that's
an
where
issue.
I was getting confused.
That's what
I think we're all on the same
yeah,
thing.
I think we're,
yeah.
mm-hmm. we're all, and that's
right.
I don't know that we need a vote on a policy for that to happen, because that's, I believe that's even by statute the way the public meeting has to work.
The biggest item on here that is policy that I see it is the invite 4:30 on Thursday. Everything else is pretty much what they're taught at when you go to a, you've just been elected, here's what you have to know. And that's pretty much what this is recapping. And I don't see that's a bad thing to recap and make sure people that, you know, maybe it's a good thing for us to have as for people that show up on a committee that's new to it that have this and go, this is our procedure to kind of.
Right. In the past, we've had residents complain that, hey, that wasn't on the agenda and it got added Monday. So I'm just saying, if we're going to have a hard line, 4:30 Thursday,
right.
that's it. Done. And, you know, we've always...
For the last few years, we've tried very
hard.
Please,
chief, you don't need something. We try to accommodate people, you know. But I think for the most part, 4:30, that's it. Cuts it off. You know?
I think that's the biggest I think policy item there.
Right, it is.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just saying that when I spoke to the clerk last week, that the two of us couldn't be in more harmony that 4:30 on a Thursday. But as you said, somebody comes in Monday morning and says, we're in line for this grant. We're in line for this grant, and we need it Wednesday night because the deadline's on Friday. And
if that could be explained to the public why we did it.
Right. It has to be an issue of detriment to the township.
I think that the memo needs to reach to all department heads.
Don't let this happen. Right.
This is where we're at.
But it's not even just that. Sometimes it's a municipal license, state license that the person is under, the resident is under a deadline for, and we accommodate them. But it's an exception, absolutely. It's an exception that's driven
that
by timelines. Yes, exactly.
Or put an emergency clause in this policy that's a simple clause that says, you don't have to describe the emergency, but there's got to be a chain of command that makes the decision that it goes beyond 4:30 on a Thursday.
And certainly our department heads will need to be educated to check their calendar on Wednesday before the Wednesday to say,
right.
not the Monday morning when the agenda hits. Karen sends the agenda out late Friday. They look in their inbox and go, oh, wait a minute, I forgot this.
Mm-hmm.
In our defense of our department heads, I haven't seen that very often.
But there's some sort of scenarios that would happen where, you know, somebody gets something that's an emergency situation because we only meet twice a month, timing being what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, again, that's an easy way to explain, hey, but if you want to have something on the agenda in general conversation that is there's no pressing need for time.
Yeah.
It's not an arbitrary deadline. It gives Karen and I the opportunity to finalize anything that needs to be done. It gives her the chance on Friday to get it completed and to everyone so that you have the time to consume it.
Including the website and the newspaper.
Yeah, there's a lot more on her end once it's in place than on mine. There's a lot that has, you know, dependent on what's on there.
The only other thing I was thinking, I had two things. I thought about situations where it might not be a resident. It could be a member of the public, like when we had that union guy come in and talk about an issue, and do we want to take that up at a later point, too? So it may be members of the public rather than residents.
That's good.
And then 9 and 10, when it comes to the ordinance, I just get nervous with the introduction versus talking between the introduction and the public hearing, so maybe we have to say something about it being...
I take this debate process pre-introduction.
Okay.
Because you're right, because when it's introduced, it can't change between introduction and when
it's voted.
Right, it's costly to make those changes.
Well, and in theory, it's for the public to know what we're going to vote on
right.
at adoption.
Right.
We have an obligation. So I think the subcommittee, everything is pre-introduction.
Maybe we say that somewhere in here, and you know, for new people that might come on.
As we said as well, I'm always a little leery drafting on the fly. Should we edit this, tighten up some of this in the...
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. The thing is, we...
I just want to make sure we're not voting tomorrow.
No. This is a proposal.
If we don't have all the facts, and maybe he wants to talk to us offline before we start opening our mouths about things and don't have all the... I think you're right.
So any more discussion on this topic tonight? Seeing none?
Good job on the draft, considering you're new to all this.
Can I ask? I just had a couple of old business housekeeping items, and now you're going to complain, but they're not
Go
for
ahead.
Action. The first one is the volunteer picnic comes up before our next meeting, so October 2nd. We haven't had any vendors approvals and things. I just want to make sure everything's on track.
Everything should be. I mean, I've talked to Q Crew. They're on board for October 2nd. They already picked the food and everything, and I have the beer and the wine also set up. I don't know that there's much else to do.
Okay. So everyone knows October 2nd is
October 2nd, 4 o'clock.
Now, I heard that the hold the dates went out. I didn't know. I thought the hold the dates went out.
We got it
yeah, Kim
a day or two ago. I think
out.
They went to volunteers early.
In August. Yeah. I just heard that's enough.
Yeah.
Do we have a head count yet? No.
I think September 28th you asked for the RSVP. So it's
because obviously we need the head count for the food and the alcohol.
Yeah.
The other, unless there's anything else you want to highlight on the picnic?
Let's see, I think we're going to use, there's going to be something there the week before. Some decorations and stuff which will be maintained.
From Fall Fest.
From Fall Fest, yes. And we'll continue to use that.
The other housekeeping item, not for action tonight, but just so that everybody can check their calendars and plan. Our November 17th meeting falls during the League of Municipalities in Atlantic City.
Yep.
In normal years, our clerk and other professionals need to go to get continuing education credits, and so, and our attorney is down there. It's really not practical for us, I don't know if we leave a quorum back because so many of us go to it. In a COVID world, I don't know. But next meeting, we should decide if we're going to keep the November 17th meeting or cancel it. And I suspect we should probably cancel it because I think from what I've discussed already, I think some of our professionals need to go down there unless the COVID world changes dramatically in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So no action now, but that'll be on the agenda next time, November 17th, potentially canceling. Any other housekeeping otherwise?
I don't know. Bring up when you mentioned the Fall Festival is the 25th. There's going to be volunteers there, so basically just making the announcement that you have volunteers, insurance, all that happy stuff. The other thing that I'm going to bring up is, since I can't use my microphone, Jamie, since that's probably like 15 minutes, can we start looking at seeing how we can replace this?
Sure. It works for me good at times.
If I turn this on, nobody's hearing anything.
Let's see if mine works.
I get it. I think it's, you know, if we can look at what would be, because we got that grant, I believe, from
the Comcast.
So I think it'd be money well spent to upgrade this thing.
That takes us to new business, and our fire chief and his colleague have been waiting patiently, getting the civics lesson, as someone mentioned. So they are up on the agenda. They sent to Tom as liaison and copied myself. Well, I'll turn it over to them to tell us what they're talking about.
Sure. So we've come across the GSA Surplus Property Donation Program.
That's federal.
Administered through the state police.
Federal GSA?
Yeah. Yep. It's administered through the state police. It allows nonprofits, fire departments, both public and private, to get equipment at a very reduced cost. Basically, the only thing you pay for is the administrative fees. So if it's a vehicle, the title transfer, stuff like that. The big thing that we see as a benefit to the township with the most recent flooding and continued forecasting is some sort of high water vehicle. The one we're looking at is a military 6x6 truck. It falls into the shared services that we've begun to work with Hybrids and Califon. We've had a recent run of water rescues both here and at the county. As part of the shared services, we own with Hybrids' boats, Manville, after the last storm. So the one thing that we're missing is this high water vehicle for the whole shared services project. There were three in the county. Unfortunately, Ida wiped out the one in Reddington, so that leaves us now with South Branch and Flemington. Problem being, if there's a storm, the roads are already out, and we kind of fall in line as to when they can get to us. There are several areas of the township, Red River Road, the Morris County line, and 513 Woody Heights, that are prone to flooding in these storms. In the past, we've gotten lucky. There's not been too many incidents. During last year's hurricane, we had one on River Road, and like I said, this year we've already had three or four. The primary goal of the truck is just to increase the capabilities that we already do. We already do water rescue, vehicle rescue. It's already in the scope of what the fire department does. The last piece is kind of over here is we need either from the mayor or business administrator a letter certifying that we're an agency of the township, and then we can submit the application. We have people already trained for it. The only stipulations of this program, the truck has to go in service within 1 year of us taking ownership of it, and we have to keep it for a year, or it goes back to the federal surplus.
I hear the words, it has to go in service. What is required to put it in service?
So the only thing that we require to put in service would be the radios, which we have from the previous vehicles we've decommissioned, and the emergency lighting, which we also have from the upgrades of the old ambulance. Those lights we still have. They came back to us as spare parts. So everything is ready to go. The truck will come in, we get it registered, insured, and we put it on the roof.
Do we have a garage space for this?
I was going to ask.
It's not going to fit in any
That's
of our
what
garages.
I was
the good thing is everybody that has one of these trucks in the area keeps them out. South Branch just sits outside behind the building. These trucks are very durable. They've been overseas for 15, 20 years with little to no problems.
Are these Humvee-looking?
These are the troop transporter?
Yep. The forest fire uses a lot of them. You'll see them every now and again.
Yeah.
In the spring and fall, they'll be transporting 6-7 wildland firefighters up and down all over for wildland firefighting. So that is the second part of this truck, is to use that as transport from roadways to fires that we may have that aren't off the road. So it's not just going to be geared for one particular purpose. It's going to kind of be an all-year-round vehicle, so it's not going to just sit unless we have a hurricane.
Who repairs it, or do you know
Chief
what
the... Quinn's actually on 31 will.
Oh, okay.
So we do have ways, if there's something goes wrong with it, to get it repaired.
Is this going to be something that the fire department takes on themselves, the administration fees, the insurance, so forth and so forth?
So because it's a unique type of equipment, the chances of it going to Somerset County, Mercer County during a storm is very high. So the fire department didn't feel like the taxpayer should be responsible for if that truck ends up in Warren County, Somerset County. So the fire department wants to take on this extra responsibility. We're willing to take care of everything from registration to insurance to maintenance. And
you're trained in water rescue. Do they have to be trained to drive it?
Absolutely. This is going to be a very unique truck for us. It'll be the first we've ever had like it.
It's going to be a unique truck for people to see on the road, too.
It will be, yes. It'll be an extensive training process, both on driving, operating the back of it, so on and so forth.
And how does that... Actually, I also wrote down, like you said, people were trained, and I wanted to ask, how do you have people already trained, but they're not trained to drive it? I mean, verbally, you said.
Seven currently that are some sort of swift or floodwater capable, so they can operate in the back of it.
Right.
In order to get on the truck, you do have to have some sort of water rescue training. The big component missing would be the driver training program. We would talk to you. I have contacts between South Branch and Flemington that have gone through this process. They know how to get people trained in it. They're comfortable with training, so they come out and help us develop the program. We then bring it to our members as kind of a trainer.
Is there certification that goes with the training? The driver who will drive it, does he have a piece of certification? Or
we actually can. With the program with the Division of Fire Safety, we now can host classes that give you a certification, so that could be something that we can develop.
But it's not like a CDL equivalent or something?
No, it's an emergency vehicle in the state of Jersey to operate emergency vehicle.
How
do you
have any water can it go into?
You're the expert. Matt, you
it's going to depend on the side of the trucks.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Firefighter Kyle Pierzoli.
Thank
also
you.
A captain of the fire department.
Thank you.
Depending on the size trucks that you get, like you said, the 6x6s, they're kind of the bigger ones. They can go sometimes 8 to 10 feet of water, depending on the land. They're pretty good. I'm actually a career fireman in Linden, and the town next to us uses them all the time. They're all in a river basin, and they drive through 8 feet of water like it's nothing. This last storm, they were out for a long time, and it definitely makes a difference having these kinds of trucks.
Rushing water or just still water?
It can go through moving water, depending on how fast it's going. Preferably not quick moving water, but it definitely can. Manville was a big thing that we saw when the water went down when the boats got too low. That's where they used them, and they were mighty helpful.
Do you have any specs? Any photos or specs of the equipment?
We don't. The only downside of the project is whatever comes up
when
you start looking, you kind of get. When you do look at a truck, you get a list of items that are wrong with it or may need repairs before you make the final decision of, yes, I want that truck.
If I were to Google it, what would I look for? High water rescue vehicle?
You could Google 6x6 or Army Deuce and a Half. Is commonly what it will come up as.
Army Deuce? D-U-C-E and a half?
Yeah, Deuce and a Half, yeah.
Deuce and
if you type that in the Google, they'll come up. They come up, some have canopies, some are open, cabs in the back.
What are yours going to be? You don't know yet.
Canopy.
You're going to look.
There's a dealer out there that will say canopies if your truck doesn't have them. The goal is to keep you out of the rain, water.
Yeah, right.
It's scared of your car, you really don't want to get pounded by water. So the goal is to have a canopy on it. It may not come with one, but it will be outfitted with one.
So if somebody's stranded out in the water in their vehicle, does it have, I know they're all different probably, but what do they have, like a line you can throw people, or how do they get to the car?
So the truck will back up as close as possible, mm-hmm. be tied off to the truck, and then into the water to get them with the training and equipment that we have to mm-hmm. keep our rescuers safe. They'll be put into the truck and removed mm-hmm. from.
I was trying to think about those three officers that were stranded in that rushing water down wherever it was, Raritan Township or Flemington, and would they have been able to have been helped with something like this, or is that too fast of a water? Just curious.
Not being there, I don't have enough answer for you.
Yeah, they were hanging on trees. Yeah. So I'm thinking.
And eventually, that is how they were yeah. from the tree back to land. That's one of the ways they got them back.
Was
the sniper just spoke.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You mentioned this is part of a shared service, would be a shared service with Highbridge and Calapan. Is that, I have to admit, I'm not familiar with that. Do we have an official shared service in place with
not
those
official.
Two?
This all came out of our rescue 2 weeks ago in Calapan. We had two kids stranded in the Sunset River the day after the hurricane. So since then, the three chiefs have sat and met and agreed that the shared service is the best way to go instead of Calapan letting go, us flying to a Highbridge. The duplicate of services for this area is needed. Mm-hmm. So Calapan is willing to take on the shore-based part of it. We are willing to take on the side water as well as the rope that we are to carry, and then Highbridge has the boots.
So the last question for me is, and you might not know the answer again because if they're all different, but what types of standard bells and whistles does this have? I mean, is it just extra high? Are there things, pieces of equipment on it that you wouldn't have normally on other pieces of equipment, or is it all about the height?
Mainly about the height and the durability of it. They're meant to go overseas and transport people through some of the worst conditions you can find, whether it's a desert, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. The exhaust in these trucks actually stick up.
Oh, that's, see, that's, yeah. Feet,
where if we're to put a fire engine in 6 feet of water, it's going to have to stall the truck out. And
yeah,
the truck.
That's good.
It's definitely not ideal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where would you right now think of parking it? Station 3 or?
Station 1.
That's what I meant. Yeah. So Station 1 on Anthony Road. Okay. Outdoors. There.
Okay.
Do we have to make a motion to approve the mayor and the town, or what do we have to do?
I think it would be to authorize the mayor to sign the required forms.
Yeah,
for the fire department to get.
Whoever is saying that we are a township entity and so we'll be provided for something.
Okay. I'll make the motion to approve the mayor to sign the appropriate forms for the fire department to request the TSA equipment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 I appreciate your time.
Good luck. Thank you for your time and your service.
Thank
and
you.
For all your rescues. Rescues last week. Okay, next under new business, policy and procedure manual, which we all got in our emails, and hopefully you all knew we're not taking action on that tonight.
Thank God.
So now we're going to get, it's an 80-page document that our administrator will...
I sent everybody a copy for your review. Any questions you have? It was a lot of work, let me tell you, because I tried to structure it. The policy procedure manual that 6-11 on township. Mm-hmm. There was many templates out there, but some of them that I chose just weren't working for the township because you haven't had a policy procedure manual since 2001. So it's it was a lot of work, a lot of detail, a lot of going back and forth. But I feel that this policy procedure manual fits pretty much 100% for Lebanon Township. Because there's so many different types of towns, mm-hmm. so many different types of policy procedure manuals, but it covers all the things that, policy procedure manuals should, domestic violence, anti-harassment, all those types of things. But also the procedures of day-to-day operation for staff members, for administration, non-union. But I want to make everyone understand one thing. All the collective bargaining agreements that we have supersede the policy procedure manual because those are negotiated on contracts. And those are, contracts you have with each bargaining unit, PBA and CWA. So if something is in here that conflicts with that contract, their contract supersedes it. So that's something that I would like you guys all to know that. And also the unions as well. So, because they might question a lot of the things that are here, the day-to-day operations, workman's comp, all the stuff like that. But I tried to incorporate the best type of language that I could for workman's comp, policy, you know, sick time, and all that, to pretty much correspond with the CWA contract. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, contracts of the bargaining unit. But they don't, not everything does. So what's ever not in the collective bargaining agreements and is in here, those employees would have to follow the policies. But I just want to state this, too. It's not a contract. It's just a manual that we should follow for several reasons. One is the fact that when you have a policy and procedure manual, now you have criteria that each employee has to meet. So, and every single employee has to sign this. So, you know, once it's done, once we all, you know, agree to certain terms, because you might have some questions for me, and you might, you know what, because I've been going through this so much, and you might be right, because it's just times, you know, you're going over and over and over and over again, that every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to change that. So I finally got to a point where I feel comfortable and, you know, that I could send it out and get it finalized. And really, I would like to get it finalized by the end of the year, and if we could probably do it within the next few meetings.
And that's what I was going to suggest. Mm-hmm. I think each of us can review and discuss directly with you,
yes,
one-to-one,
yep,
for clarifications.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have questions, ideas, we can feed those into you.
Yep.
And at the next meeting, we can then take it up to agree to changes or not changes. And if we all agree next meeting, fine. If we
makes sense.
You know, whenever meeting comes up that we're all, a question for the attorney. Do we pass this just on a vote saying we now agree?
No, we're
that
adopting it by ordinance.
Yeah.
By ordinance, okay. So that that's
In order for it to be enforceable in perpetuity, we adopt it by ordinance. So the ordinance is going to be bare bones, just referencing the document. There's not a lot of work that goes in preparation of the actual ordinance. But as everybody's aware, it's a two-step process, and it's September, and we're racing the clock. So,
yeah.
So we should put it on for introduction in October.
That's
as a placeholder, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a
and when I say October, second meeting in October, to allow for the exchange you just talked about. And if we have to bump it, we have several meetings to the end of the year, but not many.
If we cancel the second in November,
right? That's it. We're running short.
Right, because you have this topic here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the alternative is we would have to pick it up in January, but there's enough time now. And Jamie and I spoke about this. We can, you know, even with a lot of input, even some and revisions, we can get this in. Under the wire.
And another recommendation I would make that, and it's really what the statewide insurance fund really wants you to do. Every 2 years, it has to be amended. It should be amended every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So once it's adopted in 2021 and 2023, it should be amended. So you're up to date, because I mean it's
yeah. They'll provide us. As
language.
You know, in the state of New Jersey, there's something new that comes down every. We talked about potential bargaining restrictions, all that kind of stuff. But every couple of months, something comes down, and they'll put out alerts to address this in your manual. Address this in your manual. Be aware of this in your manual. So
I think the key is consistency, like that people know that they can go to this and understand, because you can't have situations where you're giving somebody a break that you're not giving the other person.
Yeah, this is how we always did it.
Yeah,
this is how
exactly.
You did it for so and so.
Right, making exceptions to rules. And
okay, so we will.
It's good with a glass of wine to read.
Yeah, I have one glass of wine. I'll be reading the same sentence over and over and over again.
I'm waiting for Audible.
Yeah, that's good.
So we will see this on our agenda next meeting as an introduction. Pending the discussion that we have, we'll either introduce or we'll postpone it. Okay.
So we need to get Jamie input by. Do we? Are we going to have like all of our input would be incorporated into?
Because
then
ideally,
we have to get it to him before.
That's a lot. If, having been through the document,
that's
a lot. But fine, we could always bump it. But getting through that entire document.
Well, I would hate to see is that the introduction. First of all, you don't get the input to him by 4:30. I mean, he's got to have it before 4:30 on Thursday, which brings us to.
And don't forget Wednesdays, Mondays and Wednesdays, he's here.
Yes.
So I would say he would have. I mean, luckily we have 3 weeks now to our next meeting.
So oh, I didn't think that. Okay.
If we have right. everything to him
forgot that.
By the 29th of September.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Right. And he's
and
got.
You know, you can, even though I'm here Monday or Wednesday, you can contact me on Tuesday or Thursday.
Or email
you, know, let's say,
you or
let's,
something.
Let's say the 27th of September to give right. you Wednesday to get it back to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For the agenda on the 6th right. of October.
And that gives you a buffer.
Is everybody okay with
yeah. mm-hmm.
that's going to be
it will, yeah.
Our deadline to Jamie mm-hmm. will be the 27th of September.
All right.
Midnight.
You're here till midnight on the 27th.
No, I'll email you if it's after office hours.
Any other discussion anyone wants to have on the policy and procedure manual? The next item is our collective bargaining agreement with our police department expires at the end of this year, December 2021. So it is now time for us to designate a subcommittee, which I envision working with Jamie Barberio. Since we're doing this in the public session, there's no strategy to discuss tonight. The question is nominating and voting on a two-person subcommittee. The last round on this, Mark Lall and myself led that, and I think we would have the most experience going into this round knowing what was negotiated the last time. Tom had done it the round before that, so we relied on him a lot last time. But that would be the question whether, I mean, personally, I think Mark and I would be the
I have no
ideal subcommittee.
For that subcommittee. Bev?
Yeah, fine with that.
Is that a motion?
I'll make that motion. That
I'll second.
Mike and Mark will lead the bargaining team for the township with the police contract negotiation.
So that was a motion and a second. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. There's no other new business on the agenda. And then we go to presentation of vouchers.
None that
apply. All right, I have one here for Warren Asphalt. It's for DPW. It's $1,510.87. I have another one here, which is Road Safety Systems. This is a payment to the guide rails that were done on Hollow Road between Musconetcon River Road to Mountaintop Road. And this is for labor and materials. It's $61,250. I have one here for New Jersey Fired Equipment. This is out of Capital. This is supply hose for the fire department, turnout gear, which they asked for this year, total of $19,997.20.
I have the New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan, September premium of $34,017.56. The tax sale certificate that we approved tonight, the additional check of $15,000 to Green Knight Capital, and the actual certificate to Green Knight Capital of $29,735.02.
I have one for Harry, I guess that's Hausschulter,
yep,
for professional services for $1,616.
None that apply.
So the total voucher list is $168,973.51. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And several items of correspondence. The last meeting, Mr. Wilson Esquire brought up to our attention the mile a minute weed situation. Sharon Petzinger, who is on our Environmental and Open Space Commission, heard that question and sent in a very detailed discussion of it, noting its history. And actually, I received comments from other residents as well. This is well studied, and people are really focused on this. But that it was brought into the United States in the 1930s, and what she brought to our attention is that there is a weevil that has been introduced that seems to selectively eat the mile-a-minute weed.
Hmm.
And that weevil is introduced by the New Jersey Department of Agriculture in certain areas where it's a particularly bad problem. And we've As of 2017, she says Lebanon Township has not had any weevils introduced here. They've been introduced in southern and central Hunterdon County, northern Warren County, eastern Bergen County, and so they do disperse, and we may have some. Last Monday in the Environmental Open Space Commission, they discussed trying to do a survey, talking to residents, finding out where we have this in our township to gather up data to go to the Department of Agriculture and say, we need weevils. So that's an example where it was brought to our attention, and we have experts doing this work on our Environmental Open Space Commission, and that's the update in correspondence there. Museum correspondence?
I see here they have a lecture tomorrow night at 6:30. It's a lecture on history of early medicine in New Jersey, and it will be given by Dr. Gary Grover. And this lecture will be held indoors. Visitors are encouraged to arrive early and visit the sanatorium artifacts in the annex outdoors. And also on Saturday, September 25th, from 11 to 3, Path to Preservation self-guided history tour of four local historical sites. And these historical sites is an organization in collaboration with the Asbury Historical Mill, the Solitude House, and the Squires Point Historians of Lebanon Township. Visitors at the museum will get a stamp for their passport, can tour the museum and annex, and can take part in snacks. That's on Saturday, 25th, 11 to 3.
Thank you. Rec Commission?
Rec Team, Friday, September 17th. If it doesn't rain, we're going to have the movie in the park, which is going to be Homeward Bound. September 20th, Monday, September 20th, is the full moon hike with Hunterdon County Park staff at Teeter Town. Saturday the 25th, the rec team will be at the Fall Fest on, with pumpkins and decorating is what I last heard. Friday, October 15th, there will be another hike with the county park at Mickwin Woods. And Saturday, October 24th, with a rain date of October 30th, is Halloween Madness out here in the park's parking lot.
Thank you very much, and thank you to them. And Mark earlier mentioned, just for insurance purposes, logging in the Fall Fest that the Park Committee is volunteering heavily involved in. And animal control report, anything?
Basically, in the majority of the month of August, there were 16 calls missing animals, found animals, back to the belfry, something like that.
Yeah, there was actually a bat. All right. Takes us to public comment. For any comment anyone would like to make, is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
This time, please come to the microphone, identify yourself, the road you live on.
Guy Wilson. I live on Mount Grove Road in the township. I had a question about your sign ordinance that related to the type of office that the signs might be put up for. Is there any difference between a federal position that somebody might be running for, like Congress or the President, and our ability to regulate that versus state or county or local?
I mean, we're going to be very limited in our ability to differentiate between that. Again, it being political speech, the matter we discussed before, that it's going to be afforded the highest protection, whether it be, you know, independent candidates for state office or federal office, and that's a concern we should be aware of as we open up areas for use.
So, for instance, there wouldn't be a difference between the size of a sign for somebody running for federal office versus local office, be treated the same.
It would be treated the same, and just to be clear, we're not placing limitations on signs on private property.
Okay.
Those limited, correct. So people, you know, we're acknowledging that people on their own private property have their right to express themselves on those issues in any office, or as to any office.
But you're right. If somebody is running for Congress, for example, and they want something bigger than 4 square feet, we won't know that. They'll just put it there, and
Maybe enforcement issue.
I mean, usually, I mean, everybody's signs are standard, but if somebody were to decide to put something bigger than 4 square feet at the federal or state or county level, you technically there would be a glitch.
It would be a violation, just to be clear, and it would require enforcement or at least notification, education, and then enforcement from our zoning officer.
Mm-hmm. Even for a federal officer?
If it's on municipal property.
Municipal. Mm-hmm. Private, no.
Correct.
You could put up a 60-foot by 60-foot sign on private property.
I don't want to say that because there's other restrict. Correct. Yeah. However, we, the governing body, is not considering particular limitations as to political speech, as you're suggesting. Okay. There are still subject to other laws, and there may be other enforcement actions. So we're not condoning or saying that something that large. You know, it may require site plan, you know, if it's that large.
Our sign ordinance
but we're not considering, it was the deliberations of this body to not impose separate restrictions as to political speech on private property.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Seeing no other public comment, is there a motion to close the public comment?
Make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Now, we had contemplated an executive session, but the matter that we were going to discuss has resolved for the time being, so there's no need to discuss it tonight. That takes us to motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Not bad, right?
No, we get home before the rain, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I'm sick of
raining. It's a storm tonight.
Yeah.